Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, we begin with text number 11, which is the prayer that was mentioned yesterday. And then we read text 12, which is on the board. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the best of all saintly persons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige. And he is the asset of persons who have no material possessions. He is the spiritual master of all Paramahansas, or the most exalted human beings. And he is the master of the self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances at his lotus feet. Text 12. Gayati Sedam Kartasya Sargadishu Yona Badyate. Nahanyate Deha Gatopi Daihi Kai. Trastorna Drig Yasya Gunara Vidushate. Tasmai namo sakta vivikta sakshane. Gayati chedam kartasya sargadishu yo nabadyate. Nahanyate deha gatopi daithikai. Trashtorna drig yasya ganara vidushate. Tasmai namo sakta vivikta shakshine. Gayati chedam Karatasya gadishu na yova padyate. Nahanyate deha gato pidahi kai. Drashtorna drig yasya gunardu dishute. Tasmai namo sakta vivikta sakshane. Ladies. Gayati chedam Karatasya gadishu yano badvadyate. Nahanyate deha gato pidai hikai. Trashtorna drig yasya ganar vidushate. Tasmai namo sakta vivikta sakshane. Gayati, he sings. Cha and idam, this. Karta, the executor. Asya, of this cosmic manifestation. Sarga Adishu, of the creation, maintenance, and destruction. Ya, one who, Nabadite, is not attached as the creator, master or proprietor. Na, not. Hanyate, is victimized. Deha gata api, although appearing as a human being. Daihikai, by bodily tribulations, such as hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Drashtu, of him who is the seer of everything. Na, not. Drik, the power of vision. Yasya, of whom? Gunai, by the material qualities. Vidushite, is polluted. Tasmai, unto him. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Asakta, unto the Supreme Person, who is unattached. Vivekta, without affection. Sakshine, the witness of everything. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Narayan by chanting the following mantra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this visible cosmic manifestation. Yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is the witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the objects he sees. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that unattached, pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described as Sat-Chit-Ananda-Vigraha, the body of eternity, transcendental bliss, and full knowledge. Now in this verse, he is more fully described. Krishna is the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, yet he is unattached to it. If we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we'd be very much attached to it. But Krishna is so renounced that although he has created everything, he is not attached to anything. Nabhadyate. Furthermore, although Krishna has his transcendental form, Satchitananda Vigraha, he is not disturbed by the bodily necessities of life, which are called daihika. For example, he is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued. Nahanyate deha gato yopi daihikai. Then again, since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision, the objects of vision, and the process of vision. When we see someone beautiful, we are attracted. The sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man, and the sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults, although he is the seer of everything. He is not afflicted with faulty vision. Nadrig yasya ganara vidushyate. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. So the verse again. Gayati chedam karatasya sargadishu yo badyate nahanyate deha gatopi daihikai trashtorna drigyasya gunar vidushite tasmai namo sakta vivikta shakshane. Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Narayan by chanting the following mantra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this visible cosmic manifestation. Yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is a witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the objects he sees. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that unattached, pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Mam Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane nirvishesha shunyavadi paskatya desadharana. We should know something about the persons or the person who are trying to worship. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains himself so we can get some idea of why he's asking us to surrender to him. If someone tells us to surrender, there must be some reason why we should surrender to the person. If they have a gun at our heads, we might consider it quite carefully, whether we should surrender to what they're asking us to do. But if they don't have a gun at our heads, then why should we bother surrendering to them unless there's a good reason? Of course, there is a gun at our heads. It's called Kala. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham, that I am death, and I take everything away. So, if he hasn't taken everything away, gradually he's taking everything away. The very body which we hold is very dear and near to ourselves, he's gradually taking away from us. And there's nothing anyone can do to stop it. You can't grab time's arm and says, leave me alone. Time will not leave us alone. So, Krishna says, when Arjuna asks, what is your purpose here in the material world? We should find out why Krishna put everyone here. What is his purpose? That's called pravritti. Agyaki meko bhavan ugarupo namostiste deva raprasida vigatami chami vantamadyam nehi prajanami tava pravritti. Akyaki me bhavan, that akyaki, I'm asking you, akyaki me ko bhavan ugarupa, why are you manifesting this horrible feature? Because people think it's not so bad. There's nice things going on here. We have ice cream at night sometimes. So, it's not so bad. Agyaki me ko bhavan ugru namostu te deva vra prasida. So Arjuna, first of all, he offers his obeisances to Krishna. He doesn't say, hey man, what's up? No, first he offers some respects to Krishna because Krishna is not obliged to tell anyone anything unless one has the right attitude. Vigyatam ichamtim avantamadyam. I want to know. But vigatim, what is this horrible feature? That he prajanami tava pravritim. I want to know, what is your pravritim? What is your purpose? So most people you ask, what is your purpose? I want to love. I want everyone to be happy. I have, you know, all good intentions. But Krishna, being God, he tells it straight out to Arjuna what his purpose is, that he's come to kill everyone. I'm time, I annihilate everyone, and everyone here is going to be killed, except for you. So, smile. Kalosmi lokashe krit pravido lokantsama artamihat pravidak ritepi tuam nabhavishanti sarve ye vasita pratnuke shioda. Time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds. So it's not just the people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they're going to be killed by time. It's every world, all the universes. And although Arjuna and the Pandavas weren't slain immediately, but eventually they had to leave their bodies also, apparently. Now, we may think, is this the person I'm supposed to worship? The person who kills everyone? That little poor baby is dying because of time, and Krishna is not even shedding one tear. He's just as happy. We see him on the altar. He's killing everyone, but he has this big smile on his face all the time. What kind of person am I worshiping? So, Krishna has to balance it also in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva bhutani kuntiya Mortiak sambhavantiya tasam no sarvutani kantiya kapushe pranastani kapadal vishrijamyaha. In the beginning of the creation, all the living entities come into being. And at the end, they're all annihilated. So we can see that everyone's coming and going. Bhuta gramam saevayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratriyagame vishya parta pravatnyahar agame. Again and again, the creation's coming. So it's not just once. Krishna doesn't create all their manifestations. All these innocent people there trying to survive, trying to be happy, just having to help others and being helped themselves. And then Krishna annihilates all these universes. Everyone's weeping, oh, my universe, it's being annihilated. So Krishna doesn't think, oh, I'm such a bad person. All these nice people I annihilated, I shouldn't do it again. And then he does it again. Oh, I'm so addicted to this annihilation. I just can't give it up. I wish I could give it up. No, again and again, since time immemorial, the creations are coming, the universes are coming. Everyone thinks this time it's going to be great. And again it gets annihilated. And it comes again and again and again. So what kind of person does that? Puts everyone into a position where they're actually inspired, that this is going to be great, we're going to have a great time here. And then he just wipes them out. So then Krishna says, Nachama tani karmani nibandanti dananjaya udasinadvarasinamasaktam teshu karmaso. That all those work cannot bind me. I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. So Krishna is like the judge. He's not purposely harming some people. And his friends, he gives a good ride. He gives a good time to. It's not that Krishna, he likes someone's face and he gives them a lot of money. Let you be rich. I like the way you smile. Another person, he says, oh, I don't like your face. You're dead. Whack. It's the end. No, Krishna says he's completely detached, seated as though neutral. He's not at all affected by any material quality that someone may have. He's simply rewarding what people deserve. He's sitting there as the judge. The judge may award someone a huge amount of money, and someone else he may condemn to death, but it's all on the basis of the activities of the person who he's being presented by, who's being presented to him. He looks at the merits of the case and then decides. But Krishna also says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetuno Non Nakuntiya Jagatvi Parivartite. This divine energy of mind called the material nature is working under my direction, producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule, this creation is manifested and annihilated again and again. So, Krishna's energy is actually doing everything here. So, though it seems like a big drama that we're taking part in, it's just the drama of the material nature. It's not even our drama. We haven't even created the drama. It's the material nature is creating the drama. Krishna is simply observing our desire, what part of the drama we want to play in. And then he's awarding us by giving us a little part in some kind of drama that goes on under the material nature. We're not even doing anything here. We're simply the observer. We become puffed up thinking, now I become an important part of the drama. But actually we're not even part of the drama. It's like turning on going to a movie and thinking we become the avatar in the movie. We haven't become anything. We're simply sitting there. We paid our money, therefore we're in the movie watching it. But the avatar isn't real. The fact that we become the avatar is even less real. The whole thing is just some flash of light on the sky in the screen, and we're taking a lot of pride, how great I am. Just see my prowess. So this is called madness. We have nothing to do with the movie. The movie's not real, and we're taking a lot of pride, and we're completely invested in it. Matter of fact, we'll stay there and watch the movie again and again and again, and getting more and more puffed up. See what I did this time. So this is called Pramata means madness, and pramata means completely crazy. So we're not just crazy, we're completely crazy. And then we blame Krishna on what happens. Exactly is the example. We go up to a tree and grab hold of the tree and go, "Let me go, let me go, let me go." And someone walks by and says, "Sir, the tree's not holding on to you. You're holding on to the tree. Why don't you just let the tree go?" "No, you don't understand. Help me. Let me go. Let me go. Help me get the tree off me." "No, sir. The tree has no arms. It can't hold you. Just let go. You'll be all right. And you and your philosophy, get someone to help me." All you people talk is philosophy all the time. Nothing practical. So similarly, we're not really part of the material world, which is good news. The bad news is that we want to be part of the material world, and therefore we won't let it go. Namely, we don't know what we do if we let it go. We wouldn't know what to do. So therefore, Krishna comes along and tells us that we have an alternative. We can utilize this body, we can utilize this mind, we can utilize our intelligence in Krishna's service, with a proper conception of ourselves, and therefore gradually enter into another realm of experience, and therefore we can let this realm go. We can stop identifying ourselves with it. It's not that the self-realized person suddenly gets four arms or four legs or two heads, but he realizes that he's not really part of this material world. It's a drama that's going on, of which even he chooses the proper drama that is becomes an instrument for liberating the souls in this world. But it's not he who becomes the liberator. He becomes simply the instrument for Krishna who liberate others. Of course, that doesn't mean that the self-realized soul has no say in what's going on, because he may, as he's being presented with different objects before him, he may show more compassion to one person and desire more strongly that this person is liberated, and then Krishna takes that also into account. So it's not that the soul becomes unconscious while he's an instrument for Krishna, or he loses completely his free will, or his individuality, but his individuality is manifested by his desire, not by suddenly taking over control. So similarly, the material world is going on in its way because the souls want it. They want to take part in some drama. And there's endless dramas. The frog, it's a drama. He takes great pleasure when the fly comes by and he sticks out his tongue and goes, "Ah, got ya." For him, it's a very exciting drama. He thinks, "I'm expert." Turns to the other frog and says, "Did you see that? Can't do that, can you?" He gets puffed up. "Look at me. Ha, they did it again. Ha ha ha." "I'm the biggest frog on the block." So every living entity is thinking like that. The little ant is thinking, "I'm a hard worker. I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Who can compete with me? Look at me. I can pick up 100 times my weight. See how strong I am. Super ant." So every living entity is taking part in some drama and taking great pride in their accomplishments, whatever it may be, thinking no one is greater than I am. I'm enjoying like anything here. And if they're asked to be taken out of that drama, they protest. Even the worm is in the stool and you're trying to pull it out of the stool. "Let me give you a bath. You've been here too long." The worm will protest. "What are you trying to do to me? This is life. I'm enjoying. Free room, free board, my whole family's here. What are you doing to me?" But Krishna, he has to arrange all this. It's not that it goes on accidentally or by chance. And if Krishna was affected by this, then it wouldn't work very well, the whole material creation. If Krishna looked around and he became struck with love, then the whole thing would collapse. Or if he became overwhelmed by hatred, I hate you, I'm going to get you. If the super soul became biased with hatred or attachment or whatever, then it would be unfair to the living entities. They wouldn't get their just rewards. They'd get the rewards that Krishna personally would on the basis of Krishna's attachments and aversions. But no, Krishna is completely aloof, and that's almost inconceivable. How anyone could actually see what's going on here and be completely unaffected by it. But then again, even a self-realized soul is unaffected by it. Why? Because he sees, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna was lamenting, crying on the battlefield, my relatives are going to die. They're going to die. They're going to die. I'm not fighting. Go, get out of here. No, Krishna said, he didn't say, oh, Arjuna, I know how you feel. I really feel for you, Arjuna. You know, sit down and I'll take out my notebook. When did this all start? How did your mother treat you? Now a few tears and rolled down Krishna's eyes too, and took Arjuna's hand. It says, "I understand, Arjuna. I'm with you, kid. Don't worry." No, he said, "Sochana vasochas twam pragam vajam chabasa se katasuns akatasuns cha nanu sochati pandita." While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are learned lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So Krishna said, learned people don't speak like you do. They don't react like you do. So you're not learned. Because no one is going to die. Nothing is really bad is going to happen on this battlefield of Kurukshetra. Because everything is already bad. The fact that the soul is in the material world is bad. And therefore nothing bad can happen when it's already bad. Nothing worse can happen when everything is already completely bad. But from the material point of view, your grandfather is not going to die. He's just going to get a young body. So what's wrong? If you have an old broken down car and someone drives by and says, "Hey, I see you have a broken down car. Would you like this new Mercedes-Benz? I'll trade you." You go, "Oh no, I can't give it up. My old car is so nice. I love my car." You immediately get out of the car and say, "Sure, it's a deal. It's a deal. Good deal. Here's the keys. Thank you." So Krishna said, don't lament. There's no reason to lament. Your father, grandfather is not going to die. No one's going to die here. They're simply going to change their bodies. And because this battlefield is auspicious, everyone will get a better position in their next lifetime who participates. So, and even Krishna, or the self-realized soul sees people are suffering, but why is material nature chastising them so they can give up their attachment to the material nature? They can give up their sinful activities. So eventually they can become inquisitive, why am I suffering? It may take some time, but eventually souls will come to that position of inquiring, why am I suffering? I'm trying to be happy, but instead of being happy, my activities result in suffering. Then one can actually inquire, when it's fortunate enough to inquire from the right source, then one can make some progress towards liberation. So the suffering is good, although generally Prabhupada didn't make statements that were contrary to people's sentiments, because people are quite sentimental and they would probably think, oh, what a cruel person this Swami is. But sometimes Prabhupada, at least in private conversations, he'd say things as they really are. Like they asked, Swarup Damodar Maharaj asked Prabhupada one time, what about all the poor people starving in different places in the world? And Prabhupada said, well, that's good for them. Now, if you go out, if you give a lecture before the Humanitarian Society, And they ask you, what are you doing about, what about all these starving people around the world? And you go, well, that's good for them. Let them, that's good that they're starving. The headlines in the newspaper, Hare Krishna says they're happy to see people starve. Prabhupada said, just like in the hospital, the patient's sick, and so the doctor prescribes that you have to fast. So that fasting is good for them. Eventually they'll become healthy. So those people in the material world who are sinful, who are denying food to others, hoarding food, then in the next lifetime they have to get the reactions to that. Then they have to starve. And by that starving, they realize their mistake in causing others to suffer. If they got rewarded for their mischievous activities, that would be very bad because they'd be more and more inspired to do mischievous activities. But if they have to get consequences, then they'll hesitate and they'll question, maybe this is not a good idea to do these activities anymore. And therefore they can do something which is beneficial for themselves and others. So that's how the material nature works. So Krishna observes that, and he gives everyone due justice. Although we may not like Krishna's justice, but that's, as they say in America, that's tough luck. You may not like the way the material nature is working, but there's nothing anyone can do about it. And ultimately, it's all working for everyone's benefit, ultimately to help everyone to become Krishna conscious. People may not want to become Krishna conscious, so Krishna allows them to go on suffering life after life, until finally they inquire, is there any way of ending my suffering? Permanently. And then gradually one will, Krishna seeing that desire, will make arrangements so that one can actually get some real knowledge and therefore make progress towards liberation. So the conclusion is, Krishna is actually a nice person. And what's going on in the material world is all for everyone's good. Just like we have that old story, which everyone probably has heard, but I'll just conclude this lecture with that old story, that everything that Krishna does is bueno. Bueno means good. So, there was one king with a minister, and the minister was a devotee of Krishna. And so whatever happened, when the king asked the minister, what do you think about that? He'd always say, everything Krishna does is good. So the king, just like when he asked the Hare Krishna devotee, what's the answer to this question? The same answer is always there. Chant Hare Krishna. So the minister would always say, everything Krishna does is good. So one day, the king was out riding with his minister, doing hunting, and the king took an arrow onto his bow, but the arrow slipped, and it cuts the king's finger off. So the king said, what is this? He asked the minister, what do you think? So the minister said, everything Krishna does is good. He said, what? Everything Krishna does is good? Do you think I just took this arrow, I just cut my finger off, and you think that's good? You rascal, I'm throwing you in jail. Do you think that's good? So he threw his minister into jail. He went to the jail, and he said, what do you think? And the minister said, everything Krishna does is good. He said, you rascal, you deserve to be here. So later on, it was told that there were some thieves, they were robbing the cows in the forest, and so the king went to protect the cows with his army, but he got lost. And the dacoits, they caught him. And they think, oh, here's a perfect sacrifice to Durga Devi. So they took the king before Durga Devi, gave him a nice bath, gave him some nice prasad, and then were about to cut off his head. And the priest said, Om Durga Namaha, and it was just cut his head off with a big sword, and he looked at the king and said, wait a second, he only has 9 fingers. He's not perfect. He's not suitable to offer to Durga Devi. And so the king said, oh, tough luck. Oh, sorry. He said, the executor said, "I'm sorry, dear king. Better luck next time." So they said, you're not even worthy to be part of these, to be here. So they threw the king out. Get out of here, you nine-fingered freak. Get another finger, you can come back and we'll execute you. The king said, "All right, I'm sorry, you know. Everyone has a bad day." So he left, he went back to the kingdom. He said, whew. He went to the minister and said, "You're right, everything Krishna does is good. But what I can't understand," after he let the king out of the minister out of the prison also, he said, why did Krishna have me throw you into the prison? He said, "Well, I'm always with you. If I would have gotten lost with you, and the dacoits would have captured yourself and me to offer to Durga, then they would have thrown you out, but I have 10 fingers. They would have executed me. So Krishna saved me by having you throw me into the prison. So everything Krishna does is good. If we examine things, we'll also come to the same conclusion that everything Krishna does is good." So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Krishna says, don't lament for the living, but at the same time he says, don't disturb the ones who have accepted lower duties and think that that's the most important for them, but try to engage them in devotional service somehow. So if there are some close relatives who are attached to us, and they want to engage us in some of their activities, what should we do? Should we say back off and don't lament for the living, or should we indulge so that they can keep their illusion and we can keep our devotional service?
I'm not so quite sure that what you're referring to, what Krishna said. In the third chapter, Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant who attach the fruit of work. They should not be encouraged to refrain from work, to engage in work and devotion. So it's not that Krishna says that we're supposed to do what they tell us to do. We're supposed to engage them in works of devotion. So we can't do that, then just, if your relatives ask you to do something, you just say yes, 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 and you don't do it. You say no, you'll get into a fight. If you say yes, 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 and you don't do it, they can't complain. Because no one does whatever they're asked to do here anyhow. Anything else? Yes.
About this position of transcendentalist, which is aloof from the suffering of others, and just observes everything. I'm not transcendental, but sometimes I see this position like a sociopath. It's a person without conscience, which makes fun of others. Because I also heard that transcendentalist is paradukaduki. He can experience the same, like compassion, the same suffering, and therefore can relate to the position of.
No, that's not what it says. He's paradukhi because he knows atmopamyena sarvatra samam pashati arjuna sukhamvedi yavadukam suyogi paramomataha. He's a true yogi Arjuna who observes the true quality of all living entities, both in their happiness and their distress. So he realizes that they're just needlessly suffering by being attached to the material nature, and therefore he becomes compassionate to them by giving them Krishna consciousness. Not that because others are suffering, he enters into the same suffering. This idea, nail me also along with yours. No, that's ridiculous. They're needlessly suffering, so he's not going to needlessly suffer either. Just like someone's asleep and they're dreaming that a tiger is biting them. So the way of helping them is not to enter into their dream and have the tiger take a piece of you too. No, it's to wake them up. You see someone's asleep, then you wake them up. That's the real compassion. They're just uselessly suffering for no reason. And if you wake them up to Krishna consciousness, then they'll be happy again.
Are people ready to be waking up?
If they're not ready, then let the material nature get them ready. That's what she's doing. She's preparing everyone to wake up. We can't do it. There's nothing we can do. We're not, unless we're awake, then we can do little to help others to wake up. And as far as causing them suffering, let the material nature, Krishna's arranging everything here. So if they don't accept Krishna, then they have to accept Maya. And Maya will do her job. There's nothing we can't stop Maya from doing her job. And her job is good for people. Just like Prabhupada said, if someone's asleep, it's easy to wake them up. But if someone's actually awake and pretending to be asleep, then it's very difficult. So if someone doesn't want to wake up, there's nothing we can do to wake them up. Nor does the super soul do anything. What to speak of our little selves, what can we do? If someone wants to be an illusion, then that's between them and Krishna. Because Krishna is the one who's supplying the illusion to them, because that's what they want. So it's false ego thinking ourselves to be so powerful, we can do something Krishna doesn't do. Oh, Krishna, he's so unkind to the soul, he won't wake him up, so I'm going to do it. And the soul goes, I don't want to wake up, leave me alone, I'm going to do it anyhow. It doesn't work that way. Anything else? Yes.
I was always wondering, why are religions so different that they sometimes speak contrary teachings? Like, for example, in Christianity, it is offensive to think that Jesus didn't suffer from cross, but here in our teachings we see that Krishna is a Buddha.
Well, first of all, there's what's called bona fide religions. Now, it's a big topic, and it's probably what authority I'm going to quote from. But this idea of Jesus making Christianity based upon Jesus suffering on the cross was not Jesus' idea. It was something that came on hundreds of years later by some council where they decided to make that the symbol for Christianity. But that's not transcendental knowledge. That's mundane people is coming up with a more or less a theme for their religion. But a transcendentalist, if Lord Jesus Christ was a transcendentalist, then he didn't suffer. If he was a greatly elevated devotee, he didn't suffer because he's even a great Haridas Thakur was whipped in so many marketplaces, but he didn't suffer. Because he was transcendental to all that suffering. So there's bona fide religions, and they all follow the same principles. And then there's things that are injected into religions that confuse everyone. All right, thank you very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.